It is 7:35 in the morning. The program's up front. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiegert. And there's a question on the local ballot for Oakland that is a question that a lot of cities are thinking about right now, which is one of the ways to address the housing affordability crisis afflicting so much of the state of California to tackle the shockingly high number of vacant properties. I'm not just talking about buildings that are empty, but lots that are undeveloped. On the ballot on November 6th, Oaklanders will be asked to vote on Measure W. Here's what it would do. For every vacant parcel, the person who owns that parcel would be charged an extra $6,000 per year in taxes. For vacant units, like condominiums in multi-unit properties, $3,000 per year in taxes. And those taxes would go to funding a combination of affordable housing, homelessness services, and city programs to tackle blight and illegal dumping. Joining us to debate the pros and the cons of the measures in the affirmative, James Van, co-founder of the Oakland Tenants Union. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And in the con, Wayne Rowland. He is the board president of the East Bay Rental Housing Association. That is an association of landlords. Wayne, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Good morning.
James, since you're in the affirmative, we'll start with you. Take 2 minutes. Why should Oaklanders approve a new tax? Why should they tax vacant properties?
Well, what Oakland is facing a very severe problem of homelessness and displacement. People are being put out of their homes, and once you're put out of your home in Oakland, you really are out of the city, unless you try to stay in the city, in which case then you're on the streets. The homeless problem is growing so fast that there is just really no way for the city to address it. The city itself, hampered by unfunded liabilities in the forms of retirement systems, the high costs of police and fire services, the rising costs of staff and services, the city essentially operates on a deficit budget, so it had no way to address this homelessness problem that grew up over the last decade, but essentially overnight, and it's escalating at a rate that can't be contained. Between the last count and 2017, the number of people on the streets increased by 26%. So in trying to address this problem, we had to find a new source of financing, a new source of revenue. And that it was the vacant property tax that became that new source of revenue that we looked into. It's already in operation in a couple of cities, in Vancouver and in Washington, D.C. And we tried to refine it in a way that it would be significant enough to help the problem in Oakland.
James Rowland, you're making the case against it?
Now that would be Wayne Rowland.
Wayne Rowland, I'm so sorry. I've already jumbled your names. So seems
like
a no-brainer. You got empty properties. They're not doing anyone any good. Why not tax the bad to pay for the things you need, like services?
Well, it's not entirely a no-brainer. First of all, it's not even clear that it's legal in the United States to tax someone for not living in their property. That just doesn't seem to make much sense. Also, a lot of the vacant property is owned by the city itself, but they've exempted themselves from the imposition of this tax. Now, if this tax were focused on vacant lots that attract blight and illegal dumping, I'd be in agreement with it just as James is. We all want to end that type of blight. We all want to end homelessness. But this tax isn't focused on vacant property or vacant lots that are magnets for blight. This is actually going after homeowners and condominium owners who live in their homes part-time or not full-time. Or maybe they had a job transfer that was temporary and they're out of the state for a while or out of the city and they come back. They want to have the home. And those individuals have absolutely nothing to do with blight. A person who owns a condominium on the third floor of any building in Oakland did not cause any blight. So I think it's an unfair tax. And at $6,000 per home, $3,000 per condo, $3,000 per duplex, this is the kind of tax that's likely to tax some people out of their homes. So it just It just, it's unfair. It doesn't seem right. And one other thing about it, as much as James described the thought that went into putting this on the ballot, there was very little public input for this. I don't know if there were even a couple of days worth of public hearings on it. It was just rushed to the ballot, and it is very, very poorly written.
So just to clarify a couple parameters here, it would tax empty lots. You're saying you don't object to that part.
Yeah, I don't object to that part. The empty lot that might attract blight, that's okay. But you know, a lot of the dumping is done where there is no empty lot. So again, it wasn't thought out very well.
And the second is that the threshold here is anything that's occupied fewer than 50 days per year counts as empty.
Right.
Well, James Vann, let me put that question to you. Why not just focus on the empty and undeveloped lots? Why go specifically into empty housing units?
Well, I think it's a fact that empty housing units that are not used do attract blight and attract crime. People do break into them and destroy the property even more than it is sitting there. And they detract from the neighborhood. So, in effect, the vacant property tax is based on properties that literally are just, they're sitting there, maybe for speculative purposes or whatever. However, there are 11 distinct exemptions specified in the ordinance. And these 11 distinct exemptions are not only specifically directed, like a low-income person, for instance, is exempt. But there's even an exemption that says any other reason that the person feels is justified for the property being kept vacant. For instance, if it's in an estate that's awaiting a decision from a court or for being bequeathed to survivors, those kinds of properties would then also be exempt. So on a property-by-property basis, any person can appeal for an exemption.
Well, Roland, let me flip the question around and put it to you. When the city zones an area residential, when it approves a residential construction project, it's so that people can live in the units in a place that doesn't have enough housing. Why shouldn't the city create policy to discourage people from buying units as an act of financial speculation and just keeping them vacant so they accrue value?
Well, it's not necessarily an act of speculation. Let's say you live in a condo near Lake Merritt in Oakland. You have nothing to do with blight. You have nothing to do with attracting any kind of vandalism. But KPFA opens up a station in Los Angeles. You go down there for 9 months, 10 months, 12 months. Is it proper to tax you $3,000 a year because you want to be able to return back to Oakland because you love Oakland?
Well, that's a good example. But if I had to pay an extra $3,000 in taxes, I would think harder about subleasing my property for six of those 9 months. That's exactly what the city wants to encourage, keep more housing on the market now.
Yeah, but the business of being a landlord in Oakland is so dicey. It's wrong to have to force someone to be in the business of being a landlord. A person who owns a home is often a very private individual. They don't want to be in the landlord business. They want to be able to go and pursue their career, and they want to be able to return back to Oakland. And, you know, that's the way it should be. That's the way it always has been. That's the way it is any town USA.
No, look, I get that. And in a perfect world, I would pay zero property taxes in Oakland. But what I would want has to be weighed against other people's needs. You've got thousands of people being pushed out into the streets. There's not enough housing in Oakland every year now.
And is that the fault of the condominium owner? I want to address one other thing. We had to create a new term to describe this particular law. It's a tax redlining. Look here. This says the imposition of the tax by zones. The city council may by ordinance establish zones or areas within the city and may restrict the levy of the tax by properties within the zones or areas established. And then they have a map that shows some poor parts of Oakland and Lake Merritt and Jack London Square. They can tax those places, but they don't have anything that says they have to spend the money to to remediate blight in those areas. So you're literally in a position where the city can tax the poor and give to the rich, and it's right there written in the ordinance. And that's why I'm saying this is one of the worst written ordinances that I've ever seen for the city to put on the ballot. And I hope that the tax-weary voter will agree with me that they need to vote no on this.
James Vann, sounded like you wanted to jump in with a response.
Yes. The purpose of the map is really to identify those areas that are predominantly low income. So that areas that are higher income would certainly be more subject to the tax. But there are areas in Oakland where the average median income is $34,000 and below. The ordinance specifically exempts low-income families. The situation with condominiums is one that would occur so rarely that a person is out of the country or out of town for years at a time and the unit sits vacant. With the explosion of the use in Airbnb and those other rental agencies, now there are almost no properties. In fact, owners are now getting out of the rental business and going into Airbnbs. They can make even more money, and more properties are taken out of the rental market. Increasing the number of people who are living in Oakland, who live in Oakland, and who rent in Oakland also increases employment. There's more people who are able to be close to their jobs and to spend their money in Oakland. So it's a win-win for the city. Certainly, people who just let their property sit vacant are going to have to pay the tax, but and who don't have a reason for that vacancy or just letting it sit there, but speculation. But by and large, other people who are well-intentioned, it won't affect them.
So, you see, James, it doesn't say that you have to leave your condo vacant year after year. It just says it has to be not in use for 50 days.
Yes.
So that's a situation that may be very common for condominiums. And by the way, I still want to stress that most condominiums have nothing to do with attracting blight. But I do want to go back to the part about the imposition of the tax by zone. It says the city council may by ordinance establish zones or areas within the city and may restrict the levy of the tax to properties within those zones. But it doesn't say that it will restrict the spending of the money to the properties within those zones. So you're going to be taxing the poor and giving to the rich.
Well, wait, Roland, it's not going to do either of those. It's going to give the flexibility to the city council to
that's
do
not
that
what it
in
says
the
here.
Future.
Well, even if, that's not what... Here, I've got it right here.
Yeah, I know what the word
even
may means.
Even if we use Roland's words,
it's not my words, it's the ordinance.
Yeah, but if you read it the other way, what it means is that the higher income areas would be taxed to benefit the lower income.
No, it doesn't
areas.
Say that. It says the city council may establish zones or areas within the city and may restrict the levy of the tax to properties within those zones.
Yeah, which could be the higher income zones. And of course, as you know,
gentlemen, I want to head off this line of inquiry here. They have a map. They do not have a requirement. Voters aren't voting on it. The question remains with the city council
right.
to apply that tax differentially or not as they see fit, which will be a debate in the city council if it passes. The question is, should it pass? So I want to return to the central question. Wayne, do you think, like, the city government should play any role in seeing to it that residential units that get built in the city of Oakland actually get filled with people who live here and contribute to the community?
Well, you can encourage that, but I'm not even sure if it's legal to tax someone for not living in their home 50 days a year.
Fair enough, but voters aren't going to be voting on whether it's legal. They're going to be voting on whether they think it's good policy. If there's a legal challenge, that'll be up to a court to sign it out. So let's focus on the policy question.
Well, no, let's not only focus on the policy question, because the city of Oakland does all kinds of things and gets itself sued too much. And so just to invite lawsuits is bad public policy as well. So let's not just assume that we can bypass whether or not this kind of thing is legal. And besides that, you know, the city is the owner of a big chunk of those vacant properties, and they spend very little time focusing on that. They even have a bunch of vacant schools, I believe.
Well, right, so this is a question of residential units, and the question I put to you, which I'd really like you to respond to, do you think the city should be in the business of encouraging the people who own those units to keep them filled with people who live and work here?
I think the city should start with itself first. If it's got a bunch of vacant properties, it should leave private individuals to live their lives as they see fit. So no, I don't think that that should be the first line of effort. I think that they should start with the vacant buildings that they themselves own, that they themselves have control over, and they can put those out to bid to for people to build affordable housing or market rate housing. They're not doing that. Until the public starts to say no to the city choosing a new parcel tax as the first line of any effort, they're just going to keep doing this. We already have 30 parcel special and parcel taxes on our tax bills. And when you get your tax bill today or within the next couple of days, if you flip it over to the back, you'll see that they've opened up a whole blank column where they're going to put the next round of up to looks like about 30 more parcel taxes that they hope to probably get down the road. I think until the public says no to parcel taxes, the city is practically drunk on parcel taxes and just won't stop.
James Vann, specifically the question of the role of the city here. There's no question, I think, that there's a housing crisis, that there's specifically a housing affordability crisis. Is this distracting from the central issue, which is not enough housing?
Well, the city is presently in a wave of development. There are about 20,000 units that are permitted now, and that will be coming online within the next year or two. Those houses that are going to be coming online, though, will not serve the people who presently live in Oakland. They're going to be for new population. What that underlines is the fact that the private market does not build housing for the working class and for the lower income people. It just does not. It builds housing for what they call the market. So the new units coming online will be, if they are for rent, will be in the areas of 4,000 and above. The basic income for people in the flatlands in Oakland is about $36,000, and they cannot afford anything like that. So this is for new population. The city needs to get money in some way, needed a stream of income so that they can finance or help to build housing for people who make much, much less than the ones who are going to be building it, who'll be living in the new high-rises going up downtown. So part of the money from this fund will go to provide and support the development of housing for those who make between 20%, 0 and 20% of area median income. This would cover many of the people who are presently homeless. Many of the people presently homeless actually work, but they have no way of raising $8,000 to $9,000 that are required to get into an apartment. So it's going to partially address the area of building housing that's needed for the very, very low income.
Great. Let's take that point and put it to Wayne. Roland, you were complaining about the amount of taxes on your property tax bills in the city of Oakland. I mean, would you agree in principle that the city needs more money than it currently has at its disposal to build affordable housing?
That's not clear.
Why not?
It's not clear that they need more money to... Well, first of all, the responsibility of housing should be the private sector. And as James says, there are already about 20,000 housing units permitted. It's not clear that what he says is correct, that the residents that currently live in Oakland will not be able to afford any of those. I think that that's wrong.
Hearing from developers and architects is you can't build a new unit in Oakland for much less than $450,000. You add financing and profit margin to that. Surely you would agree there are plenty of people in Oakland who can't afford $500,000 for a new unit.
While that may be true, once you have more housing, those individuals will still be subject to the law of supply and demand. If you have 20,000 units hit the market, rents are going to moderate. So, and it's not clear that the existing residents won't be able to move into those. In fact, since I am in the rental housing business, I know for a fact that that's not true. And I also know for a fact that the median income figure that you used was way too low. I recently looked that up because it was listed something like you just described on a on the recitals of another ordinance, and they were all very low. So I think that new housing is going to add to the downward pressure on prices, and that's going to be beneficial for all residents of the city of Oakland. But that comes from the private sector.
If you think building new housing will help bring rents down, wouldn't getting vacant units that are being held off the market into the market also bring rents down?
Yeah, but that's just a tiny fraction of it. And besides that, how are you going to collect that? What are you going to do? The condominium resident who lives in 3A, 3B is going to call the city up and say his unit is vacant?
Let's put that question to James Mann.
That's kind of big brother-ish.
It's one thing to have the law in the books. It's another to actually administer and enforce it. So how would this work if voters approved it?
Well, that is a good question. There will need to be... The law does call for a new commission on homelessness to be created. However, that commission would be charged, as the law is written, with advising the city on how the money should be spent and so forth. That will be collected from this tax. Hopefully that commission will also get into the areas of policy as well. So there will be many of the applications for exemption that will be coming in. They will need to be reviewed.
We're not talking about applications for exemptions. How does the city start with a list of properties that are not occupied? How do you figure out who's not living in their property?
Well, the assessor's roles contain all properties. And the properties that are vacant or not being used, the buildings that are not being used, the businesses that are not being used, don't pay business tax. So that's one place to start.
People, so retail is easy.
Yeah, retail is easy. The other, there will need to be some physical inspections of buildings. Whether or not a property is used for 50 days a year, it's going to be a matter of trust and a person being able to report that on a form, and the form will either have to be investigated or taken at its word. It's not going to be a perfect system, but for the properties that are obvious and that can't be challenged, in effect, significant amounts of money should be raised through the tax to go toward the homeless problem.
All right, James Vann, we gave you the first word, so we will leave your opponent, Wayne Roland, with the last word. Wayne Roland, board president of the East Bay Rental Housing Association, your closing case against Oakland Measure W.
Well, just to follow up on what James was just saying, you have a condominium owner. They have nothing to do with blight. They have nothing to do with attracting vandalism. They're living their life just as a private citizen, and now you have a commission on vacancy that would be intrusive, trying to figure out how often they use their home. The whole thing is ridiculous. It hasn't been thought out well. It won't generate the kind of funds that would be needed to tackle the important subject of homelessness, and it's just another parcel tax, special tax, tax nuisance that the city has to get to wean itself away from. It has to think of solutions that won't require so much more all the time out of the same people. And as long as they have a lot of vacant properties of their own, why not focus in on their own properties, put those properties into use, and leave private citizens to their own life, and not invade their space with a new tax for something that they have no responsibility for, which is the blight that's taking place. And one last thing, one worst thing about the blight part about it is that a lot of the blight and dumping comes from people who live outside of the city. But this kind of ordinance is saying to those individuals, fine, come here, dump your trash, don't worry about it. We will just bill our property owners to clean up your mess. I think that's wrong.
That is the voice of Wayne Roland. He is board president of the East Bay Rental Housing Association, which represents landlords and property managers. Arguing on the pro side of the debate over Oakland Measure W, we had James Vann. He's co-founder of the Oakland Tenants Union. It's a volunteer-based renters advocacy group. Thank you for coming in as well, James.
Thank you very much.
And to recap, Oakland Measure W is going to be on your ballot if you are in the city of Oakland on November 6th. It raises the question of whether the city should start taxing vacant units. Empty parcels of land would be taxed at the rate of $6,000 per parcel. Empty condominiums and individual units within a larger parcel would be taxed at the rate of $3,000. The money would go to homeless services, to affordable housing, and to dealing with blight and illegal dumping in the city of Oakland.